Radio Prague News. The visiting Israeli Prime Minister has accused Iran of playing a chess game with world powers to guard its nuclear gains. The leadership of the Social Democratic Party has called on former party member David Rath to give up his seat in the lower house. And the court which ordered David Rath's custody has defended his right to present his case to Parliament. Visiting Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu on Friday accused Iran of playing a chess game with world powers in order to guard its nuclear gains. Speaking shortly after a meeting with President Václav Klaus, Mr. Netanyahu said that although he favors a peaceful solution to the issue, he can see no indication that Iran is ready to wind up its nuclear program, and suggested that Tehran was playing a chess game with the international community in order to buy time. Security issues and the situation in the Middle East have been high on the agenda of 2 days of Czech-Israeli talks, with the Czech Prime Minister defending Israel's right to protect itself against terrorism and rejecting attempts to challenge the legitimacy of the Jewish state. The Israeli head of government said the two nations have a close affinity, since Czechs know what it is like to be a believer in democracy in a hostile region. The leadership of the Social Democratic Party has called on former party member David Rath to give up his seat in the lower house. Mr. Rath, who is in custody facing charges of corruption, has already resigned as governor of central Bohemia, but has given no indication that he plans to vacate his seat in the lower house. This has caused considerable consternation among MPs, since it would mean that Mr. Rath would have to be escorted to parliament sessions from jail, flanked by a police escort. Under Czech law, an MP cannot be forced into vacating his post, and there is no precedent as to how to deal with such a situation. In related news, the court in Ústí nad Labem, which ordered Rath's custody, claims that he is entitled to present his case to Parliament's Mandatory and Immunity Committee and to attend the Parliament session which will take a vote on whether or not to strip him of his immunity. A spokesman for the court said on Friday that it would be up to MPs to decide how best to arrange this. One of the suggestions has been a video conference-style link-up. Civic Democrat Senator Przemysl Sobotka has an edge over his party rival Evgen Toshinovsky in the presidential primaries. The senator has just beaten his rival hands down in the South Bohemia and Vysočina regions, where he received 221 votes to Toshinovsky's 96 and 188 to 119, respectively. The party's hot candidate for the post, chair of the lower house Miroslava Nemcová, pulled out of the race unexpectedly just ahead of the primaries. The Defence Ministry has proposed Lieutenant General Petr Pavel for the post Army Chief of Staff. If the proposal receives government approval, Lieutenant General Pavel will replace outgoing Vlastimil Picek, who is due to vacate the post at the end of October. The Lieutenant General received military training in Great Britain and has served on many international missions abroad. The newly emerging party of Deputy Prime Minister Karolina Pík has pressed criminal charges against an unknown culprit for stealing the party's proposed name Lidem and trying to get it registered at the Interior Ministry. There was an attempt to register a new party under that name by an unknown person soon after it was officially made public. The attempt will not, however, hinder the Deputy Prime Minister from establishing her party as Lidem, which is short for Liberal Democrats, since the initial registration was rejected for technical errors. And finally, a quick look at the weather forecast. Meteorologists are promising a warm and sunny weekend with day temperatures between 20 and 26 degrees Celsius. I'm Daniela Lazarova, and that's the end of the news.
Hello and welcome. You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech Radio. And my name is Sarah Borůvka. Coming up in today's program, the Czech team beat Sweden at the International Ice Hockey Championship on Thursday night and has advanced to the semifinals. We have all the latest business news, and in the arts we hear about Modernista, a Prague company dedicated to keeping classic Czech design alive. All that and more coming up, so do stay with us. It was a dramatic game. A last-minute goal by Milan Michalek some 30 seconds before the end of the match against Sweden on Thursday brought the Czechs the victory they needed to advance to the semifinals in this year's Ice Hockey World Championship. The Czech 4-3 result also marks the first time in 12 years that Sweden will not be playing in the semifinals. In the next match, the Czech Republic faces its neighbor Slovakia. While this is the third time that the Czechs will be competing for a spot in the finals, this year's solid performance of the Slovak team has come as a surprise for hockey experts. Ahead of Friday's match, I spoke to Daily Mladá Fronta Dnes's sports reporter
It was a little bit surprising to me because I didn't expect the Czech team to be better than the Swedish team, but it was the case. I think the Czech team was better. Of course, there were some times when the Swedish team was able to press the Czechs, but most of the time the Czechs were better, and that's what surprised me.
And now in the semifinals, the Czech opponent is Slovakia. What do we know about the strengths and weaknesses of this team, and what does that mean for the Czech team?
Well, the Slovaks are the biggest, for me, the biggest surprise of the tournament. The Czechs were able to get better game by game, and they were able to raise their game in the most important game. But the Slovaks weren't even expected to be in the quarterfinals, and now they are in the semifinals, and they are playing a good team game with solid defense. They found a goaltending star in a goalie named Lazo, and I think they play with their heart, and they are very disciplined, and I think they can be a strong opponent to the Czech team. But at the same time, I think that the Czech coach has better players. Now the question is whether the better players can play better game.
And has national coach Alois Adamczyk at all talked about the lineup for this next match, or is that something that he's keeping under wraps?
I think the lineup will be the same. The only problem could be some injuries. But if all the players that played against Sweden are healthy, I think they should play against Slovakia tomorrow.
And do you think this sort of like underdog status of the Slovak team will push them to defeat the Czechs, or do you think it's more likely that the Czechs will advance to the final?
Well, it's tough to say because I would never expect that the Slovaks would beat Canada in the quarterfinals. But they play like a team, and a team can be more than skilled players on the other side. I think the Czechs will win, but it will be a tough game for both sides.
Hockey expert Karel Knap there speaking about the Czech chances at the Ice Hockey World Championships. And of course, we'll be keeping our fingers crossed for a Czech victory on Friday night. Next up, I am joined here in the studio by Jan Richter with the latest business news.
The Czech economy contracted by 1.0% in the first 3 months of 2012, the second worst result out of 19 EU countries covered in the latest data by the European Statistical Office Eurostat released this week. Only Hungary fared worse on the list, with its economy shrinking by 1.3% of GDP from January to March. Among countries not included in the new survey is debt-ridden Greece. Overall, the economy in the European Union in the first quarter of 2012 grew by 0.1% year-on-year, while it stagnated in the eurozone.
The country's ombudsman this week slammed the government's wide-reaching reforms and a new system in place since January that streamlines and in some cases slashes social benefits. According to ombudsman Pavel Varvarovsky, the changes have left thousands of families hard hit, not least seniors, families with lower incomes and families with members with serious health problems. The ombudsman said on Thursday that his office had witnessed a major increase in appeals for help, some 500 more than in 2011, and the ombudsman has called on MPs in the lower house to raise benefits again. In response, the Minister for Labour and Social Affairs, Jaromír Drábek, defended the reforms, telling Czech TV they had eliminated distortion within the system, including an apparent redundancy or doubling up of some social payments.
Sources, including Czech TV, note that domestically grown garlic, reportedly favored by local consumers despite costing nearly twice as much as some imports, has become difficult to obtain in some supermarkets and grocery stores. Domestic producers this year have been hard hit and have only been able to cover one-fifth of demand. Much of the potential yield was destroyed by unexpected swings in weather conditions this winter. Because of its scarcity, the cost of Czech-grown garlic will go up. According to Czech TV, a kilo of Czech garlic currently costs 190 crowns, compared to 99 crowns for garlic imported from China.
Czechs apparently are more conservative when it comes to spending money in supermarkets than in past years, and they have been choosing more carefully how much they are spending. Czech TV reported that at least for now, supermarket sprees are over. According to the public broadcaster, a single grocery purchase 4 years ago averaged around 800 crowns. Today, the number has fallen to 500. Market analysts have confirmed that local consumers impact more significantly in 2011 by the continuing economic downturn, were not only changing their shopping habits but also their favorite stores, shopping at whichever outlet offered the best prices, coupons, or other deals. A recent study suggests that 85% of Czech consumers are influenced by coupons, while 61% changed their favorite store based on better deals.
And domestic banks pulled off a minor miracle last year, the news website Ihned.cz reported this week, stressing that while many banking houses abroad needed state support to survive, in the Czech Republic, banks have prospered and reported record gains. Analysts say domestic bank success is mainly due to conservative strategy and growth in the mortgage market.
And that was Jan Richter with all the business news we have time for today. And now it's time for Arts with Ian Willoughby.
The frame is made of bent beech, which is then either lacquered or veneered or stained.
At the shop Modernista in the center of Prague, owner Janek Jaros describes the production of a replica of a chair by the great Czech designer Jindřich Halabala. As well as replicas, the company deals in original pieces of furniture from the first half of the 20th century, perhaps most notably in the Cubist style, which Jaros describes as Czech-specific. Modernista also sells lamps and other household items, including work by contemporary Czech designers. Janek Jaros told me all about his business when we met the other day.
Well, it's developed quite a lot since 2001. Originally, I only sold restored original furniture. But as time went, I added some licensed reproductions, first of Czech Cubist ceramics and clocks and some metalwork. And then later, some Czech Modernist furniture. So it's a fairly mixed bag. I think that the sort of unifying feature of it all is that Modernista concentrates on the first half of the 20th century, furniture, furnishings, decorative objects.
About the original items that you sell, where do you or how do you acquire them?
Well, first you start looking in the obvious places, auctions, second-hand furniture stores, house clearances. But then once you become active in the business, the items start coming to you because there's loads of people who are also involved in the business on a level that's closer to the ground, and they come to you, and then gradually over a course of time a circle of suppliers develops, and then you do not have to devote so much time to scouting. You devote more time to the administration, organization of the business, dealing with your restorers, dealing with people who work for you. Business develops. The format develops with time.
About the Cubist items that you sell, is Cubist furniture and Cubist ceramics particular to Czechoslovakia?
It is particular to Czechoslovakia, or Bohemia, as it was at the time, because we're talking the time before the First World War, when this country was part of the Austro-Hungarian Empire. It is Czech-specific. Nowhere else in the world was it taken to such lengths. So we are the only country with Cubist buildings and Cubist coffee sets and Cubist clocks. And that's what makes the items interesting for people outside this country and for people interested in design in general.
About the replicas that you sell, how do you acquire the rights to make them?
You have to identify the rights holders, usually the descendants of the architects. You have to make sure that, that they have the right and that you got the right people. And then you enter into a legal agreement with them. It's fairly simple. It's like licensing anything else.
Is it so simple to find people who are capable of making those items?
For some items, it is easier. For some items, it's more difficult. For ceramics, it's not so complicated because it's something that people can basically do at home or in a very small workshop. For some of the metalwork, it is harder. It requires a lot of skill, but it also requires some machinery. With some items that require metal plating, for instance, it's becoming very, very hard to manufacture because times have changed a lot, and the metal plating business, the technology has changed enormously because it's very environmentally damaging. So on those items, we have a lot of trouble, and we have to travel very far often or pay a lot of money to get it done. And then moving sort of closer to mid-century, some items that we would love to add to the Modernista range, unfortunately, are impossible to make these days. We were very seriously looking into making a plastic toy, which was originally made in the 1950s, it became obvious that we couldn't do it. We would have to make so many pieces that it would require such a huge investment into the production and into warehousing and into distribution, because then we would have to distribute to a much wider public, that we had to abandon the idea, unfortunately.
Would you often add new designs to your range?
If we do identify an item that would be interesting for the collection, and we find producers, we always do it. But very often now we stop at the production barrier, because as we are getting closer to the mid-century items, which would be most interesting for us now, it is because these items were made through an industrial process. It's becoming more difficult for us to reproduce them now.
What are your biggest sellers here at Modernista?
There are some items in the Cubist line which always sell, like to name but a few, it would be the Pavel Janák crystalline box, or some items from his coffee set. The coffee set seldom sells as a whole. It often sells in parts. Our Modernist lamps are a very popular item. They sell often. But we also sell some contemporary Czech design that we do not manufacture. and there are some favorites among those pieces also. So it's a mixture.
What about your customers? Are they Czechs, tourists, foreigners?
Again, a mixture. For our furniture, it would be mostly Czechs or people who or foreigners who live in Prague or in the Czech Republic. And for the smaller items, it would be more often tourists and foreigners who take them away with them than locals.
Tell us about the international aspect of your business and what kind of reaction has your work had or your items, your range had internationally?
There's always been some international interest. For a while there was a lot of interest in the Cubist line. There were some major exhibition that incorporated Czech Cubism traveling around the world in the early decade of this new millennium. So we were successful in adding our products to the lines sold in the museum shops. We sold major museums like the V&A and the Metropolitan and some museums in Japan. But the interest has kind of gradually died down, and we only have a few dealers that now sell our items. The trouble is that though Czech Cubism is unique, it's not very well known, and because the items are quite complicated to make, and they're fully licensed, they end up selling for quite a high price, and it then requires a lot of explaining of why it costs so much and what it is, etc., etc. So it's not an easy sell. And as regards our furniture, we've always had people interested who either find our website or get to our website through various other websites where our items are displayed. So there's, like, every day we get some inquiries, and that some of them eventually lead to some sales of smaller furniture items. But you know, some people are quite adventurous, and they will happily have a large piece shipped halfway across the globe. So Modernista is fairly well known internationally now.
Janek Jaros of the Prague-based company Modernista was speaking there to Ian Willoughby, and this episode of The Arts was first broadcast in September 2009. Now we are rounding off our regular weekday program with ABC, our popular Czech language learning series.
Ahoy, and how are you?
Jak se máš?
Welcome to Radio Prague's special language program ABC of Czech. I am Heather Baun, and
Martin Mikule
is here in the studio with me. In today's program, we are looking at some phrases that don't directly translate from Czech to English. These phrases, usually considered idiomatic by language teachers, are also everyday expressions. Your language teacher might tell you to just memorize them, but we're going to go through them, pick them apart, and talk about what exactly they mean in English. So hold on to your seats. Not only will you learn some new expressions in Czech, you'll also learn a lot about Czech syntax. To ask a friend how you are in Czech, you say,
Jak se máš?
Or literally, how do you have yourself? There are two obvious responses. Well?
Dobře.
Or badly?
Špatně.
Careful, there is an unspoken rule in Czech that you don't say you're well.
Dobře.
Certainly not super.
Super.
Excellent.
Výborně.
Or great.
Skvěle.
At best, you'll probably say
jde to,
which means all right. Literally, it goes. Like the French ça va. Czech is not a language for overstatement. But let's pretend, for practicality's sake, that this unspoken rule doesn't exist. So, how are you?
Jak se máš?
Remember, literally, how do you have yourself? And the response is simply
mám se dobře.
I am well. Literally, I have myself well. The more frequent Czech response is, I am badly.
Mám se špatně.
I have myself badly. But in Czech, you don't always get to have your feelings. You can also say, it is to me well.
Dobře.
Or badly.
Špatně.
So if you are not feeling well, and you're a bit sick, You say...
Je mi špatně.
Just remember, it is badly to me. On the other hand, if you are feeling well, you say...
Je mi dobře.
Literally, it is well to me. Here's an example. Ahoj Martine, jak se máš?
Mám se dobře. A ty, Heather?
Mám se taky dobře, děkuji. Did you catch that? Let's go over it one more time. How are you?
Jak se máš?
With a bit of traditional Czech luminous...
Mám se špatně.
I have myself badly.
Je mi špatně.
It is badly to me. But what about with a positive attitude?
Jak se máš?
How are you?
Je mi dobře.
I'm well. Remember, it is well to me, or else...
Mám se dobře.
I have myself well. And one more note.
Poznámka.
About grammar before we say goodbye. The question word...
Jak?
Used in both these expressions is equivalent to the English word how, but it is not the only word for how in Czech.
Jak?
Is an adverb, which therefore requires you to respond with an adverb.
Dobře.
Well, and?
Špatně.
Badly are both adverbs in Czech. That's all for this program. Until next time.
Naschledanou.
And take care.
Mějte se.
That was the ABC of Czech wrapping up Radio Prague's English show for today. But of course, all of our programs are available at our internet address that you should really check out if you've enjoyed this program. It's radio.cz, and there you can look through a huge archive, both in text and audio form. And of course, if you have any comments, we are always pleased to hear them. You can share your opinions on the show, on our topics, and more at our Facebook page at Radio Prague, or by writing us an email to english@radio.cz. And if you enjoy going to the post office, then you can also write us a letter or a postcard by post to Vinohradská 12, 12099 Prague 2. Also, we do have a Twitter account. We also have a free podcast that you can subscribe to and a news email. So make sure to check all of that out at radio.cz. We'll talk to you again tomorrow, but until then, from me, Sarah Barivka, and from all of us here at Radio Prague, thank you very much for listening, and bye-bye.